Robin, une journaliste canadienne, fait un reportage sur des critères de choix de candidats politiques. Elle tend son micro à trois personnes qui donnent leur avis et des critères de choix, parfois surprenants. Écoutons ce micro-trottoir. Nous allons écouter Robin et ses trois interviewés. Vous répondrez vrai ou faux, true or false, à ces deux énoncés. 1. L'habillement des candidats est important pour Mariam. 2. Pour Jacques, le niveau d'éducation des candidats est moins important que leur programme. Vous répondrez ensuite à ces trois questions. 1. De quel genre de candidat ne veut pas Mariam? 2. Qui mort regarde-t-il? 3. Qu'est-ce que tous les candidats ont d'après Jacques? Vous allez enfin apprendre à exprimer une intention en utilisant le futur avec will.
Hello, listeners. I'm Robin Dwight. Today, I will be speaking to three very different people about how people choose a candidate during an election in this part of the world. Mariam, let's start with you.
The way a candidate dresses is very important to me. The right candidate must have elegance and use body language. Their hands, their voice, and their eyes are extremely important.
Moore, what do you think?
It's simple. I'll look at their wives or husbands. If they look happy, good. That means the candidates will make us happy.
Oh, come on.
Jacques? It sounds like you disagree. What do you look for in a candidate?
Most importantly, I consider the education level. We don't want ignorant people in office. We need educated candidates with a good program.
But Jacques, we can't trust their programs. Many candidates have nice promises and nice manners, but they will change their programs once they're elected.
Why not vote for the candidate you know personally? I will vote for my neighbor. He's a good candidate and a nice neighbor.
But he's not very handsome, and I don't like his accent.
I will vote for a candidate who will reduce prices and raise workers' salary.
Jacques, you don't agree.
Of course, I disagree. I have no salary. I run a small business, so I will vote for the candidate who will increase prices and decrease salaries.
Jacques, I'm so glad you're not a candidate. Nous avons entendu Robin s'entretenir avec Mariam, Moore et Jacques. L'énoncé 1 est vrai. L'habillement des candidats est important pour Mariam. L'énoncé 2 est faux. Pour Jacques, le niveau d'éducation des candidats est moins important que leur programme. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. De quel genre de candidat ne veut pas Mariam? De candidat ignorant. 2. Qui mort regarde-t-il? Les femmes des candidats et les maris des candidates. 3. Qu'est-ce que tous les candidats ont, d'après Jacques? Une bonne éducation et de belles promesses. Écoutez et répétez ces phrases de Moore et de Jacques.
I will vote for my neighbor. I will vote for a candidate who will reduce prices.
I will vote for the candidate who will increase prices.
Moore et Jacques ont utilisé le futur simple avec will, qui est invariable à toutes les personnes. On pourrait dire he will change the law. He will improve agriculture. Ce futur exprime des intentions, pas des actions certaines à venir. Vous pouvez aussi utiliser la contraction I'll ou he'll, etc. pour exprimer les actions futures et des intentions. Par exemple, I'll vote for my neighbor. He'll change the law. You'll make me proud. Vous avez entendu Robin et ses invités. Vous avez vu que les critères de sélection d'un candidat peuvent être très différents. Vous savez aussi exprimer des intentions avec will. Et vous, pour quel candidat voterez-vous? Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site Internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. La prochaine conversation est l'interview d'un Américain venant de la Floride, c'est-à-dire l'État de Floride, en anglais Florida. Kathy va demander à Robert Harris, « Where are you from? D'où venez-vous? » Il va répondre avec la contraction « I'm from Florida. »« I am from Florida. » « I'm », c'est la contraction. « Je viens de la Floride. »« I'm from Florida. » Kathy dit à son invité « Good morning, Mr. Harris. » Par politesse, elle choisit de l'appeler par son nom de famille, « Last name ». L'invité, Robert Harris, va dire en se présentant « Please call me Bob ». Il préfère être moins formel. Une autre façon de demander d'où vient quelqu'un, « Are you from ?» Êtes-vous de « Are you from ?»« Are you from Orlando ?» Elle lui demande « Are you from Orlando ?» Écoutez, listen.
Now it's time for our interview. Our guest today is Robert Harris. Good morning, Mr. Harris.
Good morning, Kathy. Please call me Bob.
Okay, Bob. I have a question for you.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Where are you from?
I'm from Florida.
Are you from Orlando?
No, I'm not. I'm not from Orlando. I'm from Miami.
That's very interesting. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our guest is Bob Harris. He's from Miami, Florida.
Comme vous l'avez entendu, il y a plusieurs façons de demander d'où vient une personne. Vous avez entendu « Where are you from ?» Et maintenant, vous venez d'entendre « Are you from Orlando ?» Et moi, je vous demande « Are you from Congo ?» « Are you from Rwanda ?»« Are you from Sénégal ?»« Are you from Niger ?» Are you from Burundi? Et vous allez répondre avec la contraction de I am en répétant après moi. I'm from Congo. Et répétez. I'm from Congo. I'm from Rwanda. I'm from Sénégal. Écoutez et répétez. Listen and repeat.
Where are you from?
D'où venez-vous?
I'm from the United States.
Where are you from?
I'm from Florida.
Where are you from?
I'm from Miami.
Where are you from, Max?
I'm from San Francisco.
Where are you from, Kathy?
I'm from New York.
Une question pour vous. À vous de répondre.
A question for you.
Une question pour vous.
Now, here's a question for you.
Listen for the bell,
après le son
then
de cloche,
say your answer.
Donnez votre réponse.
What's your name?
Comment vous appelez?
Nice to meet you.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. Au micro, Michel Joseph. Goodbye.
Bonjour, welcome to lesson number 45 of English USA. Dans cette nouvelle leçon d'anglais, Martin Lerner visite une usine de robots, a robot factory, et il parle avec quelques-uns des employés. Vous apprendrez à décrire l'aspect et la fonction d'objets différents, ici des robots, robots. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington, au micro Michel Joseph. Regardons un peu le vocabulaire. Factory, usine. Robot factory, usine de robots. Welder, c'est un soudeur. C'est une usine où tous les travailleurs sont des robots. Écoutez le dialogue qui suit.
Good morning. I'm Martin Lerner. I'm the Voice of America reporter.
Good morning. I'm Bernice Little.
May I ask some questions?
Of course.
What do you do, Bernice?
I'm a supervisor. I supervise the shipping.
What does that mean?
We ship robots all over the world. I supervise the people here. We put the robots in wooden boxes. We put addresses on the boxes.
Tell me about the robots. What do they do?
We make many robots. Let's look at these. These robots are for factories. They do the work in factories. These robots are welders.
People are welders too.
Of course. Robots are better than people.
Better than people?
They're better workers. They don't need food. They don't need rest. They don't get sick.
I see, but I don't like the idea.
People are better for some things. Robots are better workers.
They look like people. Tell me about this one. What does it do?
It welds cars. It has long arms.
It doesn't have any fingers.
No, but it has small hands. See this?
I see some tiny holes in the hands.
That's right. The little holes are for the gas. The gas is for welding. It burns. It's very hot.
How does it work?
The car moves slowly. The robot touches the car with its hands. It welds pieces together. The car moves to the next robot. It welds other pieces together.
That's very interesting. Tell what the robot looks like.
It's not tall. It's about 5 feet tall. It has no feet. It's square. It's also very heavy. It has long arms and small hands. It has no head. Its color is silver and black. Stand beside it.
Okay. Why?
It looks like you. You're taller. Look at its arms. They are long, like your arms.
Is it intelligent?
It's intelligent, but it knows only one job. It can only weld. It can't do other work.
What makes it intelligent?
It's really a computer and a machine. The computer is intelligent. It tells the machine its work. The computer tells the machine to weld only those two places. See? One arm welds above, and one arm welds below.
Martin et Bernice parlent du robot soudeur, the welding robot, dans cette usine. Ils sont en train de le décrire, son apparence et comment il fonctionne. Écoutez les phrases suivantes et remarquez comment elles décrivent le robot.
It's not tall. It's about 5 feet tall. It has no feet. It's square. It's also very heavy. It has long arms and small hands. It has no head. Its color is silver and black.
Essayez à votre tour de décrire le robot. Parlez-nous de sa taille, its height. Is it tall? Is it small? Is it short? A-t-il une tête? Does it have a head? La forme de son corps? Is it large? Is it slender? Is it long? Sa couleur? Its color? Pensez-y. Think about it. Describe the robot. It's your turn. C'est votre tour. Martin vous rappellera sa description. Écoutez la liste d'adjectifs et de noms descriptifs à propos du robot.
Square, heavy, intelligent, silver and black, long arms, small hands, not tall, no feet, no head.
Écoutez maintenant les phrases suivantes qui décrivent les fonctions du robot. Rappelez-vous, le robot est intelligent, un ordinateur, a computer, donc c'est une machine, it's a machine. Écoutez Bernice décrire le robot.
It's really a computer and a machine. The computer tells the machine its work. The computer tells the machine to weld only those two places. One arm welds above and one arm welds below.
These robots work on cars. Do robots do other work?
Yes, we make 6 robots. They are similar. I like this one.
Why?
It cleans. It cleans this factory. It moves across the floor and cleans the floor. Its arms clean the tables. We sell these robots all over the world.
Do you have one at home?
No, but I want one.
Voyons le vocabulaire. A robot, un robot. Aux États-Unis, dans les grandes usines, the factories, on utilise des robots. Beaucoup de robots. Qu'est-ce que sont les robots? En fait, les robots, ce sont des ordinateurs. Computer. A computer, un ordinateur. A robot, un robot. Un robot, un ordinateur, en fait, ce sont des machines. Une machine. A machine. A robot is a computer and a machine. Dans ce cas-là, le robot travaille dans une usine. The robot works in a factory. It works as a welder. Il travaille en tant que soudeur. It works as a painter. Il travaille comme peintre. It works as a cleaner. Il travaille comme nettoyeur. Conséquence, hence, c'est-à-dire par conséquence, hence. Hence, the robot is a welder, the robot is a painter, and the robot is a cleaner in this factory, dans cette usine. Puisque le robot est un objet, une machine, it's a machine, c'est neutre. Pour parler du robot, on va utiliser it. Donc, on conjugue le verbe to weld. The robot welds cars. It welds. The robot paints cars. It paints. The robot cleans cars. It cleans. It welds. It paints. It cleans. What does a robot do? It welds. It paints. It cleans. It's over. C'est fini. That's it for lesson number 45 of English USA. Vous avez appris à décrire des objets, en l'occurrence des robots, robots, qui en fait ne sont pas très différents de nous, êtres humains. C'était juste un exercice en description, an exercise in description. Continuez de vous exercer à décrire les gens et les objets familiers. Practice hard. Until next time. Anglais Télé, bienvenue à Anglais Télé, votre émission pour pratiquer l'anglais. This is where you learn how to practice English.
My name is Michelle Joseph and my fellow colleague...
And I am Roger Muntu.
And we have two guests with us today.
Hi, everybody. I'm Eva Pacchianaro.
And...
Hi, I'm Yubin Kim.
And we're very happy to welcome our guest also in DRC, Portland, Maine. We're discussing about... And Mali, sorry.
That's right. We have a lot of people in Mali, too.
We have to.
Yes.
Not, we must not forget our
That's
listeners.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And I wanted to actually say a special hello to Tran, our Facebook viewer in Vietnam.
Yeah, he's in Vietnam. Tran really follow all our videos. We're saying thank you to Tran. If you're listening to this show right now, we say thank you, both Michelle and I.
Yes, we appreciate your comments, and we know that it's very, very early in your country, and so we're not going to disturb you.
That's correct.
Right, yeah. But I had to. This is my sense of obligation with the verb to have.
That's correct.
I had to say hi to Tran.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
So we're going to continue with to have.
Mm-hmm. Part two.
Part two, yeah. Which basically... There are challenges with to have, because especially with the contractions.
Right.
So let's warm up with that. We'll find out what they are. Okay. Hi. Well, I'm going to work with what you were speaking about, Eva, your obligations or what you have to do here as an intern. And we're going to use the contractions. For example, let's see. So we're going to use the contraction. For example, how are we going to do this? I was thinking of the, when we're using she, he, or it, has, when we do the contraction, it's, or he's, or she's, it can be confused with is. She's very pretty, or she's got... a lot of work to do. He has and she has, or he is or she is. Mm-hmm. When that contraction happens, sometimes it's difficult to find out.
Yes.
What is this exactly?
Yeah.
So I know that I'm putting you on the spot, but do you have an idea of an example that you could use in that context? Maybe Roger can help you.
I have an example here. This is what Michelle is trying to say. Third person of singular of the verb to be is he is or she is, right? Third person of singular of mm-hmm. the verb to be. He is or she is.
Or it is.
Or it is. Thank you, Michelle. So if... you contract that, you're going to be his. He's sick.
Yes.
He's hungry. He's French. She is American. She's, no, she is.
It's.
Contraction, she is.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny
mm-hmm.
instead of it is. Here in America, if you say, oh, it is funny, they know you're not American.
Okay.
Right.
That's it.
It's going to sound bizarre.
They know you're not American, yeah. If you say, oh, it is cool. They know you're not American. Because Americans say, it's cool. It's funny. They contract a lot. So this is the verb to be. So in the verb to have now, let's come back to the verb to have, the one Michelle was saying, there's also a third person in to have, which is he has, she has, or it has. That also has a contraction that also he's, right?
She has,
or, you can also put that contraction.
Yeah, so he's got.
He's got.
Or
yeah,
she's
got.
He's.
So the only difference here, if I should add to what Michelle was saying, the how would you know is because the one with the verb to have has to be followed by a verb.
Right.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when you say, it's cool, cool is not a verb, so that's fine.
Okay.
We know that's to be. But in to have, you say, he's got to leave tonight. He's got to leave tonight. To leave as a verb.
Yes.
So we know that's got, it's
he has. Has.
Right?
He has.
Does that make sense?
Yes, I got it.
Got it?
Oh, awesome. She got
Did you get it?
Yeah. Yeah, but it
Eva,
is.
I'm not sure.
It's kind of complicated.
It is. Eva's like, I'm not sure.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that,
maybe we can actually welcome our guest.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
but Michelle, do you think that was a kind of...
It's tricky.
It's very tricky.
This is very tricky.
Mm. But I'll let you welcome the guest.
We're going to welcome our guest and... So, hello, I think we have Alf Sidibe in Bamako. Hi, Alf.
Hi, Michelle. Hi, everyone. How are you?
Thank you.
Again.
Yes, and hi, Moussa. We also have Moussa Kouma in Bamako. Maybe not Bamako. I'm not sure where you are. Maybe you can tell us.
No, but I'm in Bamako.
Wonderful. Thank you. And we have Pierrette Ngoya in Portland, Maine. I love that place.
Hello.
Now, did you hear us? We were discussing about the contraction of the third person conjugated he has, she has, or it has, sounding nearly exactly like the contraction of the verb to be. He is, she is, it is.
Yes.
So it's complicated, but maybe you guys can give us some more examples, and Roger and I will help you out, and you being an Eva as well. Maybe we could start with you, Pierrette.
Pierrette, yeah.
An example where you use she's got,
right.
She's got to get up in the morning,
right.
Versus she's getting up in the morning. Well, actually, that's she is getting up in the morning. Mm-hmm. There's a... Mm-hmm. That's
yeah.
She's getting up in the morning.
Still has. Yeah, because it's all about the verb.
She is getting up.
Yeah, she is getting up. To get is still the verb that comes after that. So,
how complicated that is. Because
she
has to get up.
Right.
She's got to get up.
Yeah, and she's getting up. Remember what Yubin also said earlier. To get is also to have.
I kind of heard that with Moussa. You were still a bit formal.
Yeah. Moussa, are you there, Moussa?
Hello? Yes, I'm here.
Okay, Moussa, first of all, you're doing very good in English. Very good, very good. But here's what Michelle wanted you to do. You didn't contract the verb. You were saying, I have got. We have got. She said you have to contract it by saying, I've. Not I have, I've got. That's the construction, okay?
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the construction. But otherwise, it was good. It was okay, but it was formal. It was not what Michelle wanted, which was the contraction.
Yeah. So I think that's the biggest challenge here. We're going to thank everyone this evening. We're going to thank Alf Sidibe from Bamako, Moussa Kouma, Pierrette Ngoya, and Jeff Pascal from DRC. Thank you so much, English students of Anglais Télé.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for yourself.
All right. And
of course, we have to say good to our wonderful engineers.
Thank you.
They're awesome.
Dave Magnus. Thanks, Aiden Utku.
Dave Magnus, Aiden Utku, and the beautiful France. The most
France,
beautiful.
Our dear producer.
Yeah.
It's all
amazing.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you, all of you.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. Yeah.